This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hope Breakfast
with Laura
and Duncan.
Hello, podcast world. How are you doing?
Last week was a big show. The Queen got her 65th Jubilee.
You lead with the Queen? It was Super Bowl leading into that week. It was amazing.
Forget the Super Bowl. Have a listen to what you missed. Ready? Countdown?
Okay. 36, 35.
Every time.
Three, two, one.
Are you ready?
Hope Breakfast
with Laura
and Duncan.
This might appear at first glance to be your everyday Monday, but it isn't, Laura, because today is Super Bowl Sunday in the USA.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that I work outside of Richard, who gets in a little bit later, with a team of women, and they don't necessarily share my degree of excitement.
It's not because we're ladies. It's because Super Bowl is just not interesting.
Are you kidding me? Super Bowl is incredible, from the halftime show to the ads that they play to the game.
Halftime show, yes. That is the only reason why you would watch it, and maybe to share nachos with friends. But to actually watch a wild game of gridiron, no thank you.
Gridiron, what are you, 1986? Do you have sounds that you don't particularly like to hear? Because a new study actually reveals that if you've got some trigger sounds, like the sound of people eating very loud, which sounds a little like this. Oh, did I just set some people off this morning?
I don't like the sounds of eating.
So if you've got this where you kind of, you know, you get set off by those sounds or people breathing heavily or something like that, then you might actually have a condition known as misophonia.
So it's like genuine disorder.
Yeah, and so what it kind of creates in you is this very overemphasized fight or flight kind of experience.
Response. Yeah. I can totally attest to that because the eating sound thing, like if you're sitting around at a dinner table, like that's kind of okay, I guess.
This makes some sense in the morning because I eat my toast and have a cup of tea at the desk while we prepare.
Yeah, that's all right. But when you talk with your mouth full, that's not okay.
So you really struggle with that.
Then you've got the sound of like going on when you're trying to speak as well. And I know that there is like bread stuck to the roof of your mouth at the same time
with peanut butter. And I'm probably using a peppermint tea to dislodge it.
1-300-40-2020. What is the noise that you just cannot stand? Good morning, Karen.
Hi, I can't stand freezer noise. Like when things move in the freezer.
Like when you are actually shifting stuff or you have that moment where something more... Okay.
No, when you need to take something out of the freezer. I've actually got goosebumps now talking to you about it.
Because of the scratch on the ice.
Yes, I can't stand it. My husband has to get everything out of the freezer for me.
You see, I have one similar to Karen. I really struggle with the sound of metal being dragged along concrete.
Oh, but when does that normally happen? What's the context for why you don't like it?
Because I got a kid and my kid will drag their spade along the concrete and it just sends shivers up my spine.
Hello, Rick. What is the sound you don't like?
The running your fingernails down the blackboard in high school.
So, Rick, I don't mind the sense. I can hear that. Mm-hmm. But, Rick, when I run my fingers down the blackboard, I can't cope with
like
the feeling of it.
Yeah, I relate to that with pedal pop sticks when they hit your tongue.
Hello, Baxter. What is the sound that you don't like?
I don't like it when you're cutting up something like very hard, like meat, and the knife scratches the plate. It's very annoying.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like I've still got my breakfast bowl in here this morning. That kind of like... That sound? It's just...
I think you just set Baxter off.
Sorry, Baxter.
That sound.
It's like metal on ceramic. Not okay.
And now it's time for Ludicrous Long Shots. No way!
That there is the greatest sting of all time.
Well, I think with the Queen celebrating her 65th Jubilee anniversary.
Okay. Yep.
Well, it's like not six. She hasn't jubileed 65 times, but
no,
when you get to
she's
65,
she's been the monarch, hasn't she?
Yeah,
for 65 years.
She jubilee. Something
Did you
along
see
those lines.
All the sapphires she was wearing for it? It was amazing.
She rocks it. So I think we also need a little bit of royal fanfare this morning because if you've not tuned in for a ludicrous long shot before, the way these works, we set out on a Wednesday morning to try and reach the highest of heights. We've tried to get someone who's been in Star Wars. We've tried to get a sumo wrestler. Didn't come quite so close to that. And this morning, we would love to know, Hopeland, have you met the Queen?
Yeah, and this is not like you've eaten dinner in the same room as her. This is that you have actually been, seen the royal monarch, said, do you say, hello, your majesty?
Hello, your majesty. Well, would you like a scone?
That's what we want. We want someone who has actually met the Queen, which means that you've got to leverage your network.
Eye contact, handshakes, words, all of it. Exchanged.
And if it's not you, if it's a friend of yours, get them to give us a call on 1-300-40-2020. Or you can text us if you know someone, 0448-40-2020.
No way!
So good.
Yes way. This morning, 1-300-40-2020. Or jump on the text line, 0448-40-2020. With the Queen celebrating 65 years as leader. We wanted to know, have you met the Queen? Now,
and this is serious because... because this is not like I have been in the same room or I was there at a coronation or when she visited.
This has got to be handshake, eye contact, words exchanged. A little bit of family history I actually forgot this morning is that my mum did have a moment with the Queen. Good morning, Mum.
Morning, Lords. Morning, Duncan.
Morning.
So what happened?
Yeah, what was your experience?
Well, it was when she was visiting Tamworth back in the late 70s and all the schools and people got together and I was one of the prefects at the school where I went to and we got down there and we're standing in a line, you know, and she's walking and she came up and she shook my hand and she asked me my name and where I went to school and what was it like to live in Tamworth and... because I was a boarder, home was Sydney at school in Tamworth, and how did I feel about being so far away from home and all that sort of stuff? It was just lovely.
So I'm wondering, with the Queen, like when the President goes somewhere, security is insane. Is it kind of a similar situation with the Queen?
Look, from memory, she had her people round about her and she had, you know, the ladies in waiting and stuff like that with her. But I don't remember it as being particularly crazy.
Did you have to curtsy?
I sort of did a something.
Ooh, and does a general wiggle and a bow.
A twirl and a wave.
My family's classy. So, Mum, does that make my sister Natalie and I, does that make us princesses because you've met the Queen?
Well, look, I think we're royalty because we know the higher king, but that's
Lovely.
Preach it, Mama. You have a good day. Thank you. And you know what that means, ladies and gents, for our ludicrous long shot this morning.
Poor victory!
We have a winner. Do you remember Sabra Norris? So she...
Yes, I remember her? She's, like, amazing.
Young surf prodigy. You probably heard a little bit of this interview that she had.
Yeah, my dad was an athlete, but now he's, pretty fat.
National television after she won the award.
Well, she got invited to do a surfing classic and she said, if I lose, I still get $500. I want to spend it on donuts. But the person who organised the event, she's really healthy and says I shouldn't.
What a character. So she appeared in the US on The Ellen Show. She's been on there once before. Awesome. She came back and this time she was talking about buffets.
What's a buffet wisdom?
Exactly. So she said, you got to go in and you always got to eat a little bit more than what the price is. That's how you get good value. So
that's wise.
So if you got $20 when you go in there, you've got to eat at least $30 worth.
Okay.
That is called budgeting.
And you don't load up on bread. I think that's a real key for buffets.
No, my buffet theory was always with I used to go for pineapple and coleslaw. I don't think it was a good combination.
What?
Well, it was the
You got to eat like 16 kilos to get to $30 on that.
Yeah, I didn't have her around back then.
Just hold on, because we thought ludicrous long shots was over.
To see if anyone had met the Queen. Well, Mum called and she's met the Queen, shook her hand, talked to her in Tamworth years back.
Which really should have just been called Laura's Forgotten Something.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it turns out that, Robin, you've had a similar experience.
No, but you've actually worked for the Queen. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So when was this? What was your job?
This was back in the early 90s and I was living in England and I worked for them for about 3 months.
Wow, in Buckingham Palace?
At Balmoral, actually.
Oh, wow.
So what was
in Buckingham Palace as well later.
So what was the actual job? What was your duties?
Oh, as far as upstairs, downstairs goes, I was very downstairs.
Yeah.
So I was really working for the staff, but I did have the opportunity to meet the Queen and some of the other royals.
Now, early 90s, would that have meant that the boys were teenager-ish age?
No, actually, I did speak to Harry, and he was around about six-ish or seven, something like that.
You cute little Harry.
Charming boy, really.
Yeah, so do you reckon, okay, because in the news at the moment, he's meant to be marrying Meghan Markle, the girl from Suits. Do you think that the young Harry you knew is actually going to marry her?
Oh, I'd have no idea about that. I don't really know her, so I really couldn't make a comment.
Hold on, now, Robin, too, like you said, early 90s. So were you around when Diana was around?
Yeah, I did.
So did you get to meet her as well?
Look, I did get to meet her, but the protocol is that you don't speak to them unless they speak to you.
Ooh,
and right. I was virtually standing next to her and she didn't speak to me, so I didn't have the opportunity to...
you didn't think, like, oh, I'll sneeze or I'll drop something just to try and inspire a comment?
No, I didn't do anything like that. You've got to follow protocol.
Good on you, Robin. I think you're more well-behaved in Buckingham Palace, even if it is downstairs, than we would have been, so good on you.
Good on. Oh,
see you later. You have a good day.
Jolly good show, old chap.
Completely. I think that Robin deserves this too.
I am beside myself because I probably witnessed one of the greatest games in Super Bowl history. Mm. Typically, when you watch the Super Bowl, it's going to be a complete blowout. And if you watched the game yesterday and got to halftime, you probably thought to yourself, this is over, Atlanta.
No, that's where it begins. That's where Gaga started.
Well, yeah, but after the halftime show, which was excellent, the main event happened.
Really?
And the Patriots have won the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady is now the first quarterback in Super Bowl history to win five Super Bowls.
There was a lot of haters for Tom Brady and the Patriots going back to Deflategate, you know, whether or not they've won, they deserve their previous titles. But here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
He's a five-time Super Bowl champion. Mm. He's probably the greatest quarterback of all time, representing the greatest team of all time. Mm. And I could see it in your eyes right now, Laura. You just don't really care. You just
not
the halftime show,
did
you?
I respect your enthusiasm and those amongst us who are all, let me eat my nachos and hot dogs while I watch people run around and hit their helmets together. But I, for one, was like, cool.
Oh, my word. Thank you for letting me have this moment. It was an exciting
game. Can I finish
game.
It now?
Yeah, go for it.
This is the kind of good news that you would love to get. You would have heard in the news that a Melbourne schoolboy who was wanting to go to space camp in America, part of a school program, he was blocked initially from doing it because of Donald Trump's controversial visa ban. Now he is celebrating news that he's been cleared to travel.
Yes.
That is good news right there. But the second thing this morning is, can you imagine getting to go on a space camp as a school excursion? I don't know about you,
amazing.
But to me that sounds like one of the most extraordinary, most memorable experiences at school you could have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that there has to rank high, like top 10 of best school excursions ever.
What was your favourite school excursion?
Well, I think mine would have to have been our trip to Canberra for Questacon.
I'm glad you added the for Questacon because just to Canberra in and of itself.
Why would you ever go to Canberra?
Why?
I mean, only weird people come from Canberra, right?
Hey, I lived there for 2 years, so I do lay a little bit of claim. But I hear what you're saying about Questacon because when we moved to Sydney, we then went to, when I was at school here, we went to Questacon and I'm like, hey, welcome to my hood. Like, this was where I was from.
I don't know if Canberra's ever been referred to as a hood. Laura, I don't have very big dreams, okay? And just to demonstrate this, when it comes to flying, my sole goal was to make it all the way to premium economy.
All right, I hear what you're saying. No business class, no first class.
There's no chance of me ever getting to ride business class or first class. But finally, a couple of years ago, I got to sit in premium economy.
Where they're like leather seats instead of cotton.
And there's so much less people. And I felt like a prince, like I'd made it.
The one and only, because the one and only time I've ever had premium economy was on a flight from Dallas to Ottawa, something like that.
That is an unusual flight.
They needed to rebalance the weight in the aeroplane. And so they sent me from the back to the front. And I'm like, well, what are you trying to say? Like, that I'm going to help. But all it was...
Plane's going to come down, Laura, if you sit here. We need to move you to premium economy. Has healthy eating at our children's schools gone too far? Yesterday, there was a particular mum who sent her kid off to kindergarten and came home with a note in the lunchbox with a sad face on it, and it said, "This caramel slice is from the Red Foods Department. Please pack healthier options for their kindergartner." Whoa.
When you've otherwise got a good healthy lunch in there, I feel like as a parent you'd feel a little bit bad. What do you reckon? 1-300-40-2020. Good morning, Bernadette. What are your thoughts?
Good morning, guys. My kids' preschool and then their school from prep to year two has the same sort of, you get sent home with a letter at the beginning of the year with the, these are the unhealthy foods, these are the allergy foods, these are the, you know, choking hazard type foods. So it shouldn't be a surprise when the letter comes home. I've actually had it happen to me where I sent in popcorn, which is under the choking hazard. I was embarrassed to get the note and annoyed initially, but then I thought, really, it's actually on me. I have read the instructions initially.
Okay.
And it's a standard response. It's not like they've written a special letter for this mum because she's done a big boo-boo. They would just have a pile of, when it goes wrong, when you sent the wrong thing, we just write it on, stick it in the lunchbox, because they've got a million other things to do than to worry about how you're feeling.
Mm. Okay, so Bernadette, is it like I understand choking hazards and certainly allergies, but I mean, my kid's only been at school 3 days, so I'm kind of learning all of this now. But if I slip in a slice of chocolate cake amongst a pretty healthy lunchbox, am I going to get one of those letters, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Part of me goes, oh, you should let the kids have whatever they want. But, you know, you can do that when you get home.
Save the chocolate cake for the afternoon tea table. Thanks, Bernadette.
And on our text line, 0448 40 2020, Ashley's written in and said, my son started kindy the other day and I have to pack an extra lunchbox called Crunch and Sip. That's three lunchboxes every single day.
Kate, good morning. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I really don't think that teacher has the right to put those little letters in people's lunchboxes. Basically, I think that the sugar that is in foods that we sometimes do consider healthy these days is even maybe more higher than the sugar that was in that chocolate slice. We don't know if it was a sugar-free chocolate slice. We have no idea. But at the end of the day, like, I think if the parent wants to give the child a snack, a treat, in their lunchbox, amongst that crunch and sip that they're bringing and the extra fruit that they're bringing normally, I think, why not? Like, it's not up to the teacher to say what that child can eat. And if that the teacher takes away that treat, well, that's like an extra snack that the child has missed out on, and they could even be hungry because of that.
Well, and you feel a little bit for the parents who every single day you kind of get up, you make three lunchboxes. If you've got multiple children, then you're making 6, 9, 12 lunchboxes.
And surely it's teaching them a bit of balance too, because you've got your healthy mix and then you've got your little treat. They're going to have to learn how to do that at some point in life.
Yeah.
So it begins them early, I guess. On the text line 0448 40 2020, Nicole says that she's got enough trouble with four kids getting them to school without arguments and issues. If a little chocolate or a canteen bribery is going to help, then it saves some time in the morning. Also on the text line, Christy, she's a mum of six hungry kids.
Yeah.
It can be really expensive if you're buying all the fruit and veg if they're sending it home. So to be able to bake healthy alternatives, cookies, treats that are home baked, you know what the ingredients are, it's a good alternative to a lot of the pre-packaged stuff, which is another thought to consider this morning as well.
I think it really highlights just the challenges that you have each day as a parent trying to get your kids out eating right, eating healthy and doing the right thing, and also then balancing that maybe with a tasty treat here and there.
How do you divvy up the chores in your household?
There was a bit of conversation going on here, and one of the people who work at Hope said that what she does is that for 1 month, she does all the cooking, shopping and cleaning.
Yeah.
And then the second month, her husband does all the cooking, shopping and cleaning.
You'd really have to be paying attention to know which month is your month.
Yeah, so you cycle month on, month off, month on, month off.
Yeah.
Now, in our household, we kind of divvy it up. My wife does the majority of the cooking, and we have a leftovers night, and I do all the lawn mowing, outdoor activities, and then stacking the dishwasher and stuff is typically split, probably not as fairly as it should be.
Carly, in case you're listening.
Yeah, probably. And my wife handles laundry because I'm a huge fan of just chucking it all in and not breaking it up by colours, which is apparently really terrible.
Is that your ploy to make sure Carly does it? Because you're like, oh, I don't know that black shouldn't go with the white ones. And
For a chore, sometimes you just train differently. And I was always trained, you put it all in together, put it on cold wash, and my wife does not like it being done that way, so she has said, listen, I'm going to do the washing. Laura, how do you divvy up the chores in your house?
I love that you look at me with a quizzical eye, like, do you do the chores in your household?
No, I have no doubt. You're a very studious and engaged person, so I know that you would do stuff.
I do. I tell you what. So recently, we as a family, the four of us, we still live at home. My sister and I, we rent rooms off our parents, so there's board contribution, but there's also chore contribution as well. But because we all have very different lifestyles, every now and again, we reassess. who's going to be where, who's going to be doing what, who can contribute to which chores. And recently we had the roundtable discussion.
Hold on, time out just for a second. Now, when you reassess, is there kind of like KPIs? Like, do you assess how you've done in the previous job?
Oh, there's the glances around the table of like, she's not going to be doing the bathroom. She doesn't do the bathroom so very well.
Yes.
But then I feel like that's my sister's ploy to get out of it. But we did the roundtable discussion. And this time around, it was like, okay, so who's going to be doing like the household vacuuming? That was the thing. So we decided to do this rotation where Dad does, because he does a lot of the outside, the maintenance side of thing. Like, Dad, you're going to do the outside. That's fine. So me, my mum, my sister will rotate. So we're now on this monthly rotation. My week has happened. This week is my sister's week to vacuum. Then it's going to be mum's week to vacuum. I've done mine. I'm like, and I'm a very detail-oriented person. So I'm like, it's clean. It's ready to go. But then the thing I struggle with is knowing that going into my sister's week, I've aired these grievances with her already. So she's well aware. I'm like, are you going to do it on time? And are you going to do it super well? Because if you don't vacuum behind the TV,
you vacuum behind the TV, like every single week.
This is the new standard.
Like, I understand a monthly vacuum behind the TV, but not every single week,
You sound like my sister. This is not okay.
I'm Team Nat all the way.
How do you divvy them up in your place? 1-300-40-2020.
It appears that your level of clean is a lot higher than other people's.
The TV, the cords behind it need vacuuming. Good morning, Asha. Don't laugh. Hello, Asha. What do you do in your household?
Good morning. Well, I'm actually moving into a new share house on the weekend, so I don't have a clue what's happening there. I just wanted to focus on this vacuuming thing.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you're already working with a device that does all the cleaning for you. All you have to do is point it in the right direction.
Mm.
How much more difficult is it to reach behind the TV with that wand? Like, why isn't it normal that where there's dust, you vacuum?
Listen, I'm not denying that where there's dust that you vacuum, but sometimes there's higher tread areas in other areas.
You preach it, Asha.
And behind the television is a low tread area. It does not need to be vacuumed weekly.
That's why it does need vacuuming.
Because that's the area that then collects the dust. The high tread areas is where the dust gets moved around. It doesn't build up as thick, but it stays there behind the TV.
Thank you, Asha.
Someone who enjoys vacuuming because of the fact that you get to, it's one of those chores you get to see your actions as it happens, because you see the dust disappear.
Asha's
TV is great.
You're exactly right, because I'm all about that little puff of dust being gone, and then I feel so delighted with myself.
I enjoy vacuuming. I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm not vacuuming architraves and, like, you know, blinds and behind televisions all the time.
You just expect everyone to walk around here squinting so they don't see it. Hello, Steve. How are you splitting the chores?
I do about half of them.
Okay. Which half are you doing?
Problem is, I live by myself.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
At least you're the only one who's going to be sad about the mess that's left behind then.
Yeah, because I got health problems, they tend to sort of pile up a little bit until the agent needs to inspect the place, and then it's a little bit of a mad rush.
Now, Steve.
We can forgive you for that.
Steve, what are the chores that sometimes you let go by the wayside?
Oh, the vacuuming tends to get left a little bit longer than normal, but those things that can wait, wait a little bit longer.
Steve, I appreciate
you, Steve.
That, man.
Sounds like we could convince Asha to probably come vacuum for you, because he's really keen on it.
Apparently loves it. Therapeutic.
When you get your Welcome to Australia manual, you've got to definitely read the chapter on drop bears. Because if you walk past our big old gum trees at any moment, a drop bear could get you.
Well, and we probably need to pause for a moment, because if you're unaware of this, first time to Australia, this is a public service announcement. Drop bears, they do resemble koala bears, but they're far more ferocious. I mean,
really?
When you're dealing with an animal with the ferocity of a wolverine, the speed of a leopard, and for every Australian, we do live in fear of these particular animals, because we know that there's not been a known survivor from a drop bear attack.
You know what? There has been no legitimate recognition of the drop bear that needs to be honoured in our nation.
Because we suffer in silence here.
Exactly.
You know, we don't talk about it a lot.
We do need to celebrate and thank Tamworth this morning, because in their fine regional town, there is now a drop bear lane. It has got official council approval. They're taking it seriously. There is actually going to be an unveiling of drop bear lane. Residents are excited, not only because their street is now named, which, yes, means they can get better pizza deliveries, but because the iconic nature of the drop bear is being celebrated.
It's one of those animals that you're kind of fearful to celebrate, but it really does need that kind of prestige, you know, and honour of a street named
after it. Does make me wonder, 1-300-40-2020, street names in your area. Have you come across one that is a little bit unusual? Like, what is the best one you've spotted? 1-300-40-2020. Also, drop bear sightings are welcome on our text line 0448-40-2020.
Adam said he likes Lois Lane, which is just around the corner from him in Pennant Hills.
He must be Superman. Good morning to you. Sensei Rick, what is the unusual street name in your area?
I actually live in Greystanes, around the corner from a street called Elm Street, as in the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oof.
The funny thing is that this sign's been stolen about a dozen times over the past years.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon the Drop Bear Lane one is going to be, like, nicked for sure.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have budget for thousands of dollars to replace that every single time.
Are you a self-checkout user, or do you go for the traditional checkouts? Because Coles, in selected supermarkets, are going to be instituting a 12 items or less policy on those self-service ones. Good morning, Melinda. How many people are you normally shopping for?
I usually have a full trolley and four children hanging off the front of it or running up the side or whatever they've got to do. And you can't actually get to the 12 item or less human person because you've got 65 in your trolley and there's no other person to go to. So you have to push your ridiculously sized trolley into the self-service.
Oh, Melinda, I feel like with a situation like yours, if you've got four kids hanging off the front, Coles should institute a policy that says we open up a brand new checkout just for you so you can get through with urgency. Right. They need to have like frazzled mum checkouts where you... I've been there. I've got friends who do it with four and they're like, it's such a harrowing experience, isn't it?
It is. You've got to try and get in, get out as fast as you can. Don't take anything off the shelves.
It's intense. So chocolate lovers, you can now get paid to taste chocolate. There is you two cannot. Companies.
Is that a legit job?
Legit. So Cadbury and Oreo, two of the like the big the big ones who make us put on a little extra around the muffin top.
Tell me more.
Area. They want people to come on board to sample and give honest feedback about chocolate products, cocoa beverages. Mm-hmm. You're part of a panel. Mm-hmm. You get to taste, test, give feedback. You will be shaping the chocolate that you eat and that is on the shelves that we eat.
Is this a paid position?
It is a paid position. I mean, let me just come in real
see
quick.
You, see you later, Laura. I've got a job to apply for.
You're heading to the UK because it's actually in Europe.
I'm out of here.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
Chocolate. Well, he is hoping he comes back and brings us some chocolate. Well, me, because you won't technically be able to eat it, but I will. I'll have yours. Okay, see ya.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan. 6 till 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.